So today we went to Cloverdale Baptist Church. It's December 3rd. And it's not the first time we've been to this service. It's the second time. We went to it the first Sunday in September. On the first Sundays, they have a meal following service. Now, the first time we went there, we thought service started at 10 a.m., that's Bible study. Bible study's at 10 a.m., followed by service, and then followed by a meal, and that's on the first Sunday of the month. Today, we got there a little after 11. There was some inclement weather, and it was just warm and cozy in there. The preacher came up to us, and I brought some food to share, and he took that to the kitchen, and just very relaxed, personable environment. And I think we were coming in right when there was a hymn about to be sung.
Mm-hmm. I think they'd sung the first hymn and we're about to begin the second one. So, but they kind of interrupted the whole, I mean, there were only maybe 15 people in the sanctuary. Could have been 20. No, I don't think so. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 16 people. But anyway, they just kind of interrupted the service there for a second, and the pastor came over and welcomed us, and they went on to the second song, which was Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Both the songs that we sang today were familiar, you know, old-time familiar hymns to me.
Written and published in the early 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, songs that I remember from my youth. And, you know, so I wouldn't have been able to remember the words, but the hymn, the melody, very familiar.
And I did something I haven't done before in one of these services. I took some notes during the sermon. A couple of things stood out to me that the preacher had said at the beginning of the sermon, talked about everybody had their right to their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And during our meal, you know, following the sermon, I was able to ask a couple of questions about some of the what I had heard and was needed clarification on. And it was nice to sit down with the preacher and be able to just have him elaborate further on some of what he talked about, which I think is essential if you're talking to people who aren't churchgoers, is to be able to find a common language, something that you can share and explain. Now, if he hadn't been able to explain in his own way, like I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but in his own way, he had his own explanation. It would have just, in a way, been meaningless words, I guess. Maybe I'm thinking too deeply existentially or into this.
It was just helpful to be able to talk to him a little bit more about. Mm-hmm. I mean, the subject of his sermon was the Lord's Prayer, mm-hmm, in Matthew, which I guess is Matthew chapter 6. He pointed out that there were at least two different versions of the Lord's Prayer in the New Testament, both similar, but you know, he read both of them to us and explained kind of what this prayer was for, what its purpose was in the Christian tradition, and I think he focused especially on the idea of forgiving our, you know, I think what we're used to is saying forgiving our trespasses, mm-hmm. as we forgive those who trespass against us. And in the King James Bible, I guess it's forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I've heard some other wording for that as well. Anyway, he said, you know, the use of debt and debtor there doesn't just mean money.
Mm-hmm.
So he sort of expanded it out into
offense and offender.
Yeah, offense and offender. Yeah. And he talked about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So the question that I asked at the meal afterwards was what was his first experience with the power of forgiveness? How did he learn in his own life that forgiveness is a powerful tool, at least? Maybe that betrays my own attitude toward it, that it's a tool that we can use. Not so much an obligation, but something that we benefit from and others benefit from.
What was his answer? I don't think I...
His answer was that he learned it when he was saved. That was when the real power of it hit him. And by that, I think he would mean when he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. I think that's the terminology he would probably use. And then he said after that he had seen it have profound effects on the lives of many others. But he didn't have an example from his own life of being forgiven by another person. His answer was the power of being forgiven, by an all-loving God for all of his sins. Which, I guess is... That probably is the...
It's like the ultimate.
It's right? The ultimate, I guess. That probably is the experience that he actually had and I guess wants to convey the power of. But, for an unchurched person who wants community and sort of traditional worship experience of a certain kind, a really genuine kind of a worship service that's led in a very genuine way, mm-hmm. by someone who clearly believes strongly in what he's saying. This is probably where you'd want to, at least a place you'd want to check out. You'd probably, I guess, need to be of a pretty conservative mindset. But I don't know. I'm not politically conservative, or really not conservative hardly in any way, but the music, especially at this church, is very... It's very attractive to me. I love the music and the singing in this little congregation. When they sing together, it's good.
The warmth is apparent. It's also conservative. A little more, I would say, leaning more into the traditional Baptist church that you would think of
mm-hmm.
in rural community.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that there are Baptist churches in big rural areas that are, or big urban areas mm-hmm. that are much more, I don't know, megachurchy kind of, you know, much more about entertaining and attracting big crowds. And that's not what this was like at all. This was probably not too much different from what you would have experienced if you went to a little Baptist church in the late 1800s, early 1900s. I thought it was impressive that this was the only church we've been to in Tillamook mm-hmm. County where there actually were children
mm-hmm.
present.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. People, there was more age diversity.
And not just children. I mean, like, two families there. One family of children that were preteen, teen,
mm-hmm.
about. And then the other family with, like, a little child who is probably 4 or 5 years old and a month old baby. It's just
mm-hmm.
It was very delightful to be around, to have that energy there, to have this just, you know, wide range of age there.
Mm-hmm.
And that made it feel like family. That made it feel like a community where people can grow up in it. There's something appealing about that multi-generational space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And much, I mean, it had a family atmosphere in part because the pastor's family was, I mean, his daughter, his grandson, his wife, we know because we know these people.
Mm-hmm.
They're like the backbone of this church. And I think that actually that speaks well of the pastor and of that community. That you know, it just says something about that family that they can go to church together across at least three different generations, which, you know, is not true of every family, that's mm-hmm. for sure. But that's something to take note of. Anything else you can think of that would recommend this to an unchurched person?
Well, I would recommend going on the first Sunday of the month when the meal follows, because that's where the fellowship happens. That's where you get to spend time with folks and hear their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we heard a range of ideas from the preacher about his belief system, but then we also had conversation around where to shop for this or that, or, you know, how to raise an animal like this, and what does it mean when you raise an animal like this,
mm-hmm.
and it was just
mm-hmm.
it was quite lovely.
How to lay hardwood floors.
Yeah, how to lay hardwood floors. Don't let your billies in with their nannies or you're gonna get some sour milk.
Yeah, yeah. Where else can you get advice like that? Yeah. Okay.